bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
That is why we're here.
And I've already clicked start. So it's the big show. Yes, it's Thursday. It's 8 p.m. And there's no crackerjack pencils and pens. No. What there is instead is incisive wit and keen discussion about the week in technology, because we have an assembled panel of experts that will take your breath away. Before we get to them, let's start with James Hart.
I was going to say, I think your sarcasm chip had been installed. Good evening. Thank you very much for that that outrageous welcome.
Now, are you refreshed after your week off, sir?
I had a really good, it was half term week here, and I spent a lot of good time, really good fun time with the children, running about. We had, on the Tuesday of half term, it was just a beautiful, wonderful, warm day, and it was just too good to get out and about, and it's been rubbish ever since.
It was too good to be half term, yes.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it was good. Thank you.
What you been up to?
Just basically getting out and about, and yeah, not really much. It's now that the schools have gone back and work's gone back, and all you get is a commute and playing with computers all day, it's just go back to normal, really, which is why I'm back here for a little bit of fun and entertainment.
Yeah, sorry to put you off, mate.
Playing with computers all day.
He's a system admin. What to expect?
Is that what you guys do then?
That's what I do all day. I play with. That's what I've done since I was like knee high to a grasshopper. Now I get paid for it. So who's to blame? Yeah,
I'm the same.
No, good. Next to James, joining us for the first ever time, and at the very last moment, and he's manfully doing a great job. Jeff Gamet, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, and thanks for bringing me on. And had I realized how actually awesome you guys were, I probably would have grabbed a drink before I sat down.
Oh, so you've got to have alcohol.
I feel underdressed.
It's past lunchtime for you, so you should definitely be drinking.
I was waiting for the adjective there.
That's true. It's almost 1:30 in the afternoon for me, so I really should be drinking by
nearly bedtime, mate. So now, normally a Mac aficionado, but you get to talk general tech. You must be bubbling over with excitement.
You have no idea, or is it showing?
No, keeping it on the inside. Good lad. That's what I like to say.
Well, you know.
Contain yourself, brother. Contain yourself.
I'll do my best. And it's fun to break out from talking about just Apple stuff all the time.
Exactly. So, we agree. Yeah, we keep saying we're going to get Inatko on this show, because Inatko does nothing but Apple. He's got to do all the other stuff someday.
He talks comic books every now and then.
Yeah, no, but we don't do that. No.
And Red Sox.
And Red Sox, yeah, but he's in Boston. You're not. Sarah.
I feel stupid. I thought you were talking clothes. And I'm like, do you know what kind of socks Andy wears?
Actually, if you put in Red Sox season with an X, you get clothing back before you get the baseball team. That's how bad they are. Sarah, how are you doing, girl?
I'm very well, thank you. Looking forward to the start of the baseball season.
You're in Ireland and drinking.
Well, yeah, so what's new?
Jeff, if you've got a couple of minutes, you can still go and get a beer, by the way. How's Ireland?
Yeah, actually, I can. Actually, I'll sneak away for a second.
No one will know.
Yeah. Ireland's still here, and it's nice to be back. And the weather's been better than it's been in England, so I hear, which is always a bonus. So, yeah.
Fortunately, good.
Been working, but not now. I'm now off, now not working for 3 days. So, got to be a good way to start the weekend.
And last, but by no means least, we have Captain Kirk. Oh man, can I get enough power, Captain? How you doing? You've got a TriCaster, you lucky git.
I know.
And
how did you get that?
Well,
yeah, you had to sleep with someone, didn't you, Joe? Jodamax, how you doing, buddy? Oh, and your glass is transparent because you're on green screen.
So no one knows I'm drinking.
Now, this is a well-kept secret, and I'm not allowed to say anything, but Joe is just about to start work for ITN, which is why he's got the set that
there. They nicked the set.
What? You're in your bedroom. Your bed is right now. You're sitting on your bed, aren't you, mate?
No one would ever know.
No one would ever know. Absolutely. Superb. Apart from the fact that the green screen cuts out and your arms just disappeared. But never mind. It's pretty slick up until that point.
Actually, I just assumed that was a birth defect. Wasn't going to say anything.
I can see. Polite Americans.
It's fine.
The Week in Tech. What's been going on? Well, let's start with an email that we got.
Uh-oh.
A fantastic email from a bloke named Tony who says, "Hi, Ewan. Just wanting to say thanks for posting the wrong show in the Mac feed the other week. I got to listen to the Big Show for the first time. I have to say that it's rather good. Nice to get a quick fire run through the high points of the week as a whole and not just the newsless Maciverse. Cheers, Tony." Thank you, Tony. Very kind of you, mate. And we got a review from BW as well. She said, "If you're looking for a serious show that deals with all the technology news with the in-depth analysis of serious professionals, then this is not the show for you. If you want a show that deals with all the technology news with good banter and some great Mickey taking out of the news that deserves it, then this is the show for you." And that's a fantastic review in iTunes. If you'd like to give us reviews in iTunes, they make a wonderful difference to our ranking and they really push us up there. So please, if you haven't reviewed The Big Show and if you haven't listened to The Big Show before, then that message will mean absolutely nothing to you because you're not listening now either. There we go.
But this is if this is your first time, this is what it's like every week.
Kind of. Except James isn't here every week. The Week in Technology, the Chromebook Pixel thing has had a bit of a kick in because Engadget has done a proper review of it and it's called it another impractical marvel from Google. This joins the long list of hardware that no one's going to buy ever. Maybe harsh, but there you go. And also, someone has created, this is like a Kickstarter-y thing called the Zephyrus, which is a waterborne bot that you can control with your smartphone, because everybody someday will need a bot that they can, an aquatic drone even, that they can control from their smartphone if the parrot thing's not good enough.
You see, so, saw that in the show notes and I thought to myself, surely if you just stick the parrot thing on the water, you get yourself a drone you can control with your Android phone. That thing just can't fly.
No, I think you get a short circuit if you put parrot thing. It's not waterproof.
Caulking, my dear.
That's why you're a sysadmin, mate. Sergey Brin has said that using a phone emasculates you. I think there's an ulterior motive here.
I think that's really scary because either he has no idea what emasculate actually means or he's had a really tragic accident and... and has a prosthetic penis now.
Well, he has a prosthetic eye, apparently, because he's done nothing but walk around with those glasses on. His girlfriend must be really pissed off. Not to mention his wife.
And I was going to say, if that doesn't emasculate him, I don't know what does.
Yeah, no. So this is the thing. You can either walk around with a cell phone close to your ear like everybody else, or you can pull on a pair of glasses that make you look a twat. It's your choice.
You know, I saw a guy walking around with the Google Glasses things on at CES.
Right.
And you totally nailed exactly how it looked.
Oh, there you go. So the incisive news this evening is the fact that the word twat actually manages to translate into American. Brilliant.
It translates beautifully.
Thank you.
How does that work for those of us that wear glasses generally?
No, these aren't glasses, Sarah. These really aren't glasses.
How do you know I'm not wearing glass version 2?
People who wear glasses look down on people who wear Google glasses.
But, I mean, on a serious note, how would Google glasses integrate with prescription glasses? Yeah. Did they ever talk about that?
Maybe they do a clip-on. Like your mum and dad used to have.
Those old sunglasses you used to get.
Yeah.
Looking at that picture of Sergey, the blue arm on the side of it actually looks like it clips on anyway.
Joe, are you wearing glasses?
Yeah.
Dude, you can't.
These are legit glasses, yeah.
You can't wear glasses. You're like 10. Stop changing your camera as well, because I've already changed it this end.
I'll stop wearing glasses. Just and zooming in.
Yeah, you're just zooming in on your bloody whiz-bang thing. Yeah, see? Yeah,
I have something the virtuals.
That's code, isn't it?
Yes. No, his whiz bang thing is not code at
all.
He's
just showing off.
He's got a TriCaster and he's going to show it. There's also Volunteers requested for a mission to Mars. Now, the only drawback is you've got to be a married couple. Yeah, that's not the drawback. I mean, the fact is you, well, you know, anyone who's not couldn't be. Well, no, if you're not a married couple, you can't apply, is what I'm saying. And it's old, what's his name, Tito, the bloke that was the first space tourist who paid $20 million to go up to the space station for 7 days. What's going to happen is you're going to be sent out to Mars in 2016 on a free return trajectory around the outside of the red planet, and you're going to have to spend 16 months in a capsule with your missus, with no shagging.
Possibly go wrong.
And what you, I mean, presumably there's going to be no sharp implements either.
Mm-hmm.
No china plates. And the thing is, you have to don't you have to drink your recycled urine as well?
You're really selling it to us here.
No, I thought about applying earlier, but I'd rather go divorced.
Now, how would they enforce the no sex thing?
Well, I think it's just a kind of like
chastity spacesuits or something.
I don't know. I just, I, from what I understand, fluids and space don't go well together. That's all I'm saying.
I would totally break the rules just to see what happened, which means that my spaceship would probably crash. But for a moment, it would be glorious.
No, what a way to go, though, eh? We have a problem.
The thing is, though, if you wanted to kill your wife, that would be the perfect way. You'd apply for it, and then you'd come back, and the shuttle would ditch in the Pacific, and they'd pull you out, and you go, I have no idea.
Oh, man.
she was with me as we rounded Mars, and I don't know. Now she's gone.
She popped out for a couple of minutes, didn't see her again.
You just open the door, and you go, whoa, thank God you guys are here. Whew. There's a new projector out there from LG. It's not that bad. It's only something like $8,000, which I know is stupid money for a projector, but this thing does a 100-inch screen at 22 inches.
That's extreme short throw.
That's crazy. That is brilliant. That is less than 2 foot, and it does 100 inches from it, and it's keystone perfectly, and there's no need to worry. And there's a picture of it, and that's probably the fake picture. But even so,
I'm not entirely sure you'd want to really get too close to it because you get your fingers burnt off.
Well, my TV's
that's a lot of light coming out of that.
It is. I mean, the only thing the big thing that you get with projectors is the fact that they always go on about the fact that they're 1080p or they're 4K projectors, but you've still got the inverse square law working on them. Mm-hmm. So if you know, every double distance, quarter energy. So your quarter pixelage effectively every time you go further back. So if you've got it on the back end of the room, it might be 4K, but by the time it hits the wall, who knows? Whereas this thing, you got it. I mean, 22 inches. My TV nearly sits 22 inches off the wall now because it's plasma. So that would be brilliant. I want one of these. I'm not going to pay $8,000 for it. I'll take a review copy.
Either that, exactly, in a couple of years, that'll probably be what everybody's using. Because you can hang it from the ceiling of your room and project it down, which is just, amazing. But where would they put the speakers?
I'll stuff the speakers. I hadn't thought that far, Ed.
Well, you wouldn't necessarily need to worry about it anyway. I mean, you'd have the speakers anywhere, can't you?
I'm still in lust here, James, not love.
Fair enough.
I find it amazing because this is like, it takes a complete, it's completely different from any other consumer projector out there now because it's using laser rather than like DLP or LCD, which is incredible. I'd love to see it.
Princess Bagel in the chat room says sex in space is a must.
Voice of experience there.
Is she married? And if not, does she want to sign up for a Mars mission with me?
She's married, but I'm sure she's willing to talk. And says
that's
weightless
O. Actually, in the chat room, because it is a little bit discriminatory against either people who aren't willing to get married or people who aren't in their state allowed to get married.
I don't know, but I made the sex thing up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I didn't think you'd take me seriously. An Oxfordshire town has been very, very badly treated because the people that are laying cable in the local area have decided to bypass them, which is horrendous. Absolutely terrible of them. The fair place is Frilford and Frilford Heath. So they're obviously paired, I'd guess. But they've gone to a firm called GigaClear. They've all banded together. And for $295 or £195, everybody in the village is going to get 1 gigabit a second. Yeah. Now you're not laughing, are you?
No, I'm still pissed off about lighters about no sex in space.
No, I'm sorry, mate. I lie a lot, an awful lot. Apparently these people are getting faster than Google's Kansas-based internet experiment thing that's going on.
It's expensive, though, isn't it?
But what is that price for, like a month or...
No, that's the setup fee. And then they have to pay. That's the upline cost, and then they have to pay on top for the monthly.
I'd pay for that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you've got there is a critical mass of people in the village, and if it is imagine it's probably quite a wealthy village in Oxfordshire. I know there are other wealthy villages in Oxfordshire that I'm not going to mention that probably could afford it, but some little Pennine town that's in the middle of nowhere between Yorkshire and Lancashire that gets forgotten about, they haven't really got a hope, have they?
No, absolutely. But so I've got to say, there's a local village by me, and there's 4,000 people live in it, and they won't put fibre down there. And I find it amazing that they won't do it for 4,000 people. But if you're talking about £195, house prices have just gone up as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And I think actually if they can sustain that business model, other people may take a look and say, oh, yeah, we could do that as well. Because people consider decent internet to be as important as electricity and almost water in some respects, doesn't it?
Chat room's drooling already. Adam saying, I'd bloody love 1 gigabit. And Batwinch says, try living in West Cumbria.
Mm.
Though I have to say, the pictures you've been tweeting out, girl, have got better views than Oxfordshire. Sea's involved. Windscale's involved. We won't talk about Windscale. No. And that's it. That's the week in tech. There's no more than that. Well, there is. That's not true. We've got... The bloody people that do... I've forgotten what they stand for. Everything Everywhere.
EE.
Bloody EE. There we go. EE have said no one needs unlimited data plans. It's an absolute fallacy. It's never been required. What on earth are they talking about?
That's what your definition of unlimited is, really, doesn't it?
Well, their definition of unlimited has always had quotes around it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's not very unlimited then, is it?
Oh, there never has been there, mate.
That's even true for desktop broadband. Like, you know, home connections, it's crazy what they call unlimited.
Well, I mean, Joe and I are both on Virgin Media, which is a fantastic service. I'm not going to slag it off. But when they started off, they were they were supposedly billed as if you had the top plan, you were truly unlimited, and you really were. They never did anything, but even the top scale now is hobbled.
It's bandwidth, it's traffic shaped, isn't it? Which I think is a little bit fairer. But the thing is, when you're dealing with, I really can't marry this up. When they're selling 4G, which is just blisteringly quick, and you can eat through your monthly allowance in no time, and then saying there's no such thing as an unlimited plan, what the hell are they selling?
It's such a shame that they think in this way. I mean, I used to be on T-Mobile, which is, you know, now Everything Everywhere along with Orange. But I remember, like, in January 2011, they tried to cut down all their free gigabyte customers down to 500 megabytes a month, and there was just outrage. So this really comes as no surprise.
No. I mean, I don't have a problem with the idea of not having unlimited. I really don't think you do need unlimited. But I want an amount, and I want the speed I pay for it, and I want it consistently across the main areas.
And what you really don't want, and this happened to one of my colleagues, I sat opposite him today, he said, do you know what? I've got 4 days left to go on my plan, and I've run out of data. And I have to pay stupid amounts to be able to top it. Okay, you know, it rolls over the next month. You get your data back. Because if you run out, you have to pay big bucks to get that topped up.
Well,
And one of my colleagues said, oh, sorry, I've got a three dongle you can borrow, and that's got unlimited, so you can sort of take it home and bring it back when you're ready. We're having to borrow bandwidth of our friends now.
No, the three dongle doesn't have unlimited. The three The three,
that's right,
three,
it's one
phone
where you
has unlimited, oh, right, and it's truly unlimited. But the dongle is limited to 15 gigabytes, and I've got over the problem by having two of them.
Wait, it's a lot more generous than what you get on your monthly package quite often. I mean, 15 gigabytes is still, if you're plugging it into a computer, is still quite a lot. But the fact that I can't communicate with some of my friends because it's 2 days before the end of the month and they've slightly miscalculated. The fact that you've got to have your bandwidth monitor installed on your phone so you can keep track of when it's expected to run out so you don't overuse it. It's just bonkers. we don't as customers, I don't believe we expect better than that, don't we?
Well, I agree. Jeff, what's the unlimited, in inverted commas, like in the States? Have they ever sold unlimited? Is there any truly unlimited? Because I know you guys play through the nose.
So for mobile phones, when AT&T first started with the iPhone, they had a truly unlimited plan. Mm. And then Verizon did that when they started with the iPhone. And both companies have worked really, really hard to force everyone out of unlimited plans. And like for broadband in your home, we are all told that we have unlimited broadband, but we really don't. And I think for Comcast, that's one of the really big carriers here, it's like a 4 gigabyte a month cap. Or it might be higher than that. I can't remember, but it's something that they're not enforcing strictly. But if you're someone that hits whatever that cap is every month, then they'll probably start throttling you back, or eventually just cut off your
internet. But you get a warning. It's not just like an instant bill.
I think you get a warning. I'm not sure because I haven't actually hit the point yet, because I'm really good at horking other people's bandwidth, so I've never actually hit the cap of my own.
Is that something you should really be admitting to? Can I have a go on your Wi-Fi, please?
People are actually watching the show. Oops.
Dear Ewan, I'm Jeff's neighbor, and I wondered where I wasn't getting any download speed anymore. No, I mean, the thing is, I think we're all agreed, truly unlimited is A, a fiction, and B, really isn't necessary, because you don't need unlimited. But I mean, there's an amount that sounds reasonable. So if you said you gave me 200 gigabytes a month on my home internet, I probably wouldn't chew through that. That'd be fine. If you gave me 30 gig a month on my mobile Wi-Fi, I probably wouldn't chew through that. That'd be more than I would need. I would probably do 15 or 20 at most. And I'm uploading some serious files as a photographer, so to Dropbox, etc. So, what's the magic number? What's if we're not having truly unlimited? What's the magic number for internet? What would you need?
Up and down.
A total transfer.
For me, it's like around 300, which is a lot, but
no, that's home.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, so what about mobile?
You were saying on your phone, because again, it's all about form factors. You could have a 3G chip or a 4G chip in your tablet, and that would be chewing through a lot more bandwidth because you want to use it as your. It depends how much you use it, really. Because now I've got my Nexus 7, I use that a little bit more than I use my mobile phone, but I have to get the data from somewhere, so I'm fortunate enough to be able to tether, and yeah. I can chew through 2 gig easily in a month.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's self-defining here. That's the point. If you're talking about home broadband, 200 a month more, maybe 300. I agree with Joe because I'm uploading shows and that kind of stuff, and they're pretty hefty. I don't have a problem with that. Mobile, 20-ish is probably going to be enough for me.
For a phone?
No, that's for all mobile devices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 20 so like might be okay. Yeah.
Includes tethering and such, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of what I do on my phone is emails, Twitters, satellite navigation. I mean, I rely on my phone for acting as a directory of local things. And none of those really use a huge amount of bandwidth. If you're away from your home and you want to watch something entertaining, streaming video is pretty much the worst thing you could possibly do to your phone, not least because it ruins it. You run out of battery in no time.
Mate, high-definition porn comes at a hell of a price.
Both in batteries and in bandwidth. So there we go. Listener, you have been warned.
Chat room says 4 gig. Sorry, Sarah.
I was going to say, the thing is, with the predominance of Wi-Fi, I'm actually finding that I don't actually need that much data when I'm mobile, particularly over here. For some reason, I just don't use hardly any of it at all for data. And I'm still doing all the usual things.
So what's your typical use, Sarah? Are you talking about phone, email and Twitter and nothing more?
Well, the point is that it seems like everywhere I am here, or the majority of the places I am, I've actually got Wi-Fi access. I don't have a contract over here. I do have a local SIM for my phone, obviously. And I bought a top-up in December, and I haven't used it yet. Because I just don't use... I mean, other than the occasional little tiny bit when I'm out and about, most of the places I seem to be, I seem to have access to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. What you don't do, for example, is commute on the train. And people do want something to entertain them on the train. And if they've got a decent 3G SIM, they're certainly not going to pay for what Virgin Trains wants to, or East Coast Mainline wants to offer in terms of their Wi-Fi. One, because it's rubbish, and two, because it's unbelievably expensive.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. But I was just thinking about the fact that even the fact that it's available, it is becoming more and more predominant. It's actually the need for having access to 3G to do something like that when you are traveling and you might want to watch something, you know, a stream or whatever. It's becoming more prolific. And yes, I know. Okay, Virgin charge. You know, whoever the train company is might actually charge you for it. But if you can imagine that is actually going to become more the norm in terms of being available, and it will become more, you know, much more easily to get available, and it will become cheaper.
True. I mean, Beth doesn't use public Wi-Fi because she doesn't trust it, because who knows who might be snooping on it and stuff like that.
You can VPN pretty much anything.
I can understand that for things like Wi-Fi, sorry, for email and so on and so forth. But for streaming video, who cares?
True.
Was that someone's doorbell?
I don't know what that was.
The chat room is chipping in here. 4 gigabytes! Exclamation mark. I can chew through that in a week, says Adam.
Wow, what, mobile?
I guess so. I don't know. But then, right. With the speeds they get in the US, 20 gig for mobile, 150 to 200, says Adam, for home use, which that's kind of right, I think. That's a good figure. I can rattle through 5 gig per month on the iPad and 1.5 on the iPhone, says Pete. Batwitch says she bought tethering for 3G. It was for three networks. Sorry, it was 1 gig a month for £5. For £15, for £20, you get 15 gig a month on three. But it's not unlimited. WinRider plays $30 for 3 gig for iPad on its own. That's quite a lot. That's an awful lot. EE's at the moment is 26 quid for 8 gig, which isn't horrific, but I still think that's a bit pricey, just a little.
I think things still need to settle. Things have needed to settle down for the last God knows how many years, with every mobile carrier, certainly even in the UK, they all vary their ways of delivering the service. And it's not going to settle down anytime soon, because there's either the perception that people are constantly going to be wanting more bandwidth, which I still think is questionable, certainly given the amount of hassle the government had trying to sell 4G. But I still don't think anybody's really got the clear idea of, A, what the customer wants, and B, what they can afford to deliver to maximise their profits and give a consistent service. It seems to change month on month.
None of us are particularly normal. I just wanted to point that out.
You speak for yourself.
But I mean, if you think about that, I mean, Ewan did some coverage and with Steve on the Wi-Fi access that's becoming available on the London Underground.
Yeah.
You know, and Tone's just put in the chat room about last time you travelled on East Coast, I got free Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
I was in standard class.
He may have been close to first, though, he says.
This is becoming more common. You know, part of the reason, you know, because I travel on public transport here, particularly buses. And they even have free Wi-Fi on the buses over here.
Good heavens.
Yeah, well, that's actually pretty common here for long commute buses.
Yeah, that's what I do, you know, sort of.
Yeah, just free Wi-Fi is included.
Yeah.
And away you go.
Good. It's either that or have sex in the toilets.
That's just you, I think, Ewan.
No, I'm still back on the Mars thing, sorry. Batwitch in the chat room says, I am not normal because apparently my boss has told me so. There we go. Now, I mean, Jeff, seriously, if you look in the States, you guys get regularly humped for cost of data and that kind of stuff, but how available is free Wi-Fi in the average city, you know, conurbation town centre?
Wi-Fi is close enough to ubiquitous that I don't worry about hitting my monthly data cap on my iPhone. I can go almost anywhere and find free Wi-Fi. I mean, Starbucks is like on every corner, and in many cases, right across the street from itself. And where I am, I'm actually living in the mountains in Colorado in a town called Estes Park. The town has free Wi-Fi, so you can just be walking down the street, log on to the city Wi-Fi.
Wow.
And at that point, you're only using minutes on your phone for phone calls. Everything else is just free Wi-Fi.
Now, do you have lampposts in the US?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't. What I'm saying is that translates as a term. You don't call them street lamps or different
street lights.
Street lights, street lamps,
or lampposts.
Here in the UK, London boroughs are turning all of their street lamps into public Wi-Fi. Allegedly, yeah,
I think Swindon was the first council to do this in the UK, weren't they?
Yeah, basically what they're talking about is shoving... I mean, I know that if you look in pubs and hotels and that kind of stuff, typically you'll find that the Wi-Fi is actually inside the gaming machines or the jukeboxes, and that's where they're getting the Wi-Fi coverage from for the establishment. But they're talking about London boroughs across the whole of the London area, Greater London Council, as it was going to give free Wi-Fi through it. Whether it's going to stay free or not, that's I think awesome. It's a different question.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, Ewan. And as you know, I work for London Borough.
I didn't want you to say that.
It's quite weird, actually, because when I went to Dublin for the day with my dad, and while we were there, they offered Wi-Fi through the Aircom phone boxes. So that's if you were near awesome. An Aircom phone box, you could pay for Wi-Fi. But of course, phone boxes are being phased out by mobile phones, so it's kind of like whether that's... It's going to have to be something more like street furniture, isn't it, that they use? But every lamppost, that's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only qualification that you're going to find in this is that the London Borough is saying that the scheme will see residents receive free Wi-Fi access using a system of transceivers attached to lampposts, bus shelters and other street furniture. Jeff Connell, Director of IT for Newham Council, said one
He's
of the...
my boss, Ewan.
Really?
do you want to punch him?
Do you feel like you want to...
Or just sign...
Do you want to hang up at the moment, Sarah? I don't want to give you in a position or anything, but Jeff Connell, Director of IT for Newham Council, one of the 16 authorities involved in negotiations with suppliers, said the project was already underway. The boroughs are basically saying we have these assets, such as lampposts and street furniture, that are available, and suppliers are bidding for the use of wireless service.
I've got a lamppost outside my house. If that got Wi-Fi on it, I'd not bother with broadband.
Well, you're not in London either.
That's true. I think they'll figure out a way to stop you from doing that.
Forgive me, fellas, if I ignore everything you're about to say and go to Sarah for any further comment.
Fair enough.
That's a name I never expected to hear on the show.
So, I mean, I don't want to put you in a position or anything, Sarah, but according to Jeff Connell, the scheme would enable local councils to generate revenue from selling their access. Which is what I thought when I read the story to start with. You know, as soon as I saw the council, I'm like, okay, residents, you give it for free because it's part of your council. If you're not a resident, then you don't get a code. And lo and behold, you pay a little bit on top, but you're quite happy. And what would be interesting if it transferred across the borough?
I do think it's an excellent idea. I mean, it's just that, you know, they'll include it in terms of actually what you're paying your council tax. And I'm not just saying that because it's my boss. I just think it is a good idea. I used to live in Swindon, as it happened, so that's why I'm particularly aware of the fact that they were the first ones to offer municipal Wi-Fi.
Is this a change in IT policy that tends to follow you or something?
No, not as far as I know, unless they're about to do it over here in Ireland.
Well now, done.
That would be a good... Yeah, that would be great.
I was going to say... I would start to think that.
If they reduce my bin collections to once every 2 weeks to give me free Wi-Fi, then I'd start asking questions.
That'd be good. Maybe. So there you go, Jeff. Well done. It's good that you're A, switched on, B, Sarah's boss, C, give her a rise, And D,
yes, if you're listening,
don't find out that she spends all day down the pub when she's in Ireland.
wait. I just assumed that's where all business happened in Ireland.
Oh, that's what it's about. Absolutely. She's schmoozing the clientele.
That's right.
Yeah, because it's all about networking.
If anybody's going to know about Newham, it's going to be the Irish.
Sarah, if you get fired over this, I want you to sue the other three, not me.
I have to say, I don't actually work for London Borough of Newham.
You don't, but how's he your boss then?
Because he's also the boss at the borough that I work at as well.
Okay, all right. As long as you don't bring your own borough into disrepute, that's all that matters.
No, and that's why I haven't mentioned them by name.
Good, excellent. But I've got to say, well done, London councils that stick your Wi-Fi through the... it just depends how much you charge. See, now, if you're talking me 10 quid a day or something for me to walk down your street, not going to have that. Not having that at all. It's that time that Simon Toon, who's James's boss, would like very much. It's This Week in Marissa Meyer. This Week in Marissa Meyer. Now, if there's a long delay at the end of that, that's because I can't hear it when it plays. It'll come out on the feed and it'll be on the video, but I can't hear it when it plays. So, because I'm getting my audio feed from somewhere else. This Week in Marissa Wire, Meyer, apparently, Wire, apparently, this week, Marissa decided to completely change Yahoo by telling everyone, if you work away from the campus, bollocks, you're not going to be there anymore. You're going to either come into work or you can sod off.
This Week in Stupid Ideas.
No, I mean, I like Marissa. I've got to say, I keep bigging her up, and Simon Toon keeps giving me grief over it. But when it comes down to it, she's done all right. She's done all right by me so far. But this week, she says, if you're a remote worker, you've got to come to campus, otherwise you can sod off. She's either looking to cull numbers, or she's lost her marbles. Because I would have thought that the best thing you could possibly do as a business is get as many people as possible to work from home. Whether they fulfil their workload or not is a different question, but you don't want to carry the overhead, surely.
Well, there's two sides to this. I mean, the first thing I will say, and the most important thing is, and it was a foolish thing for them to do. It was an internal memo. It wasn't a press release. It wasn't intended to be publicised in the way it was.
James,
it
if
was
I a, know about it, it's good enough as a press release.
But that is they completely forgot about Twitter. Anyway, that aside, two, I can certainly see the benefit of teleworking. That's great. However, Google have come out and said, yes, there is something to be said for the spirit, the team spirit, the working together in the same office. And I imagine what she's probably trying to do is stop the culture of people permanently working from home, so never coming into the office and operating from home. I guess, you know, so I'd like to put that side to it if possible. If it is not that, if it is not saying, if it is being draconian saying you will come into the office every day, that's going a little bit of a step too far. But because I really do think that working together, having the kind of the unity, the conversations, the corridor, the chats you can have, the fact you can overhear interesting things, the fact you can learn from your colleagues through speech rather than either going on a teleconference, a telephone call or through email. Yes, I can feel all those benefits. If it is draconian, then that's gone a little bit too far.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I have a different theory.
Hang on a second, Sarah, because the thing is, Jeff Connell in his infinite wisdom, who is Sarah's boss, has allowed Sarah to work and do her job adequately, perfectly adequately.
Indeed.
The Republic of Ireland.
I am somewhat of a pioneer.
Exactly.
In our London Borough, because we have this thing about new ways of working, which is working from home and working out of the office. And I've always been pushing the boundaries of it. And it works.
Is that
really
pushing
well
the boundaries of it versus trying it on?
No, it's not trying it on.
I'm joking. Calm down.
I know you are, but it's something that I do get very sensitive about. But one of the things I wanted to pick up on was what James said about having this balance between working at home and not working at home all the time. I've done all the different scenarios along the way during my career. I had a time when I was working at home all the time, and I hated it because, like James said, you kind of miss out on that content. And I also don't like the thing of working in the office all the time anymore. I just don't think it works as well. But having this happy medium is the perfect scenario from both points of view, because obviously from, you know, a business point of view, you know, when you've got, a large number of staff, and if you can encourage them to work out of the office a lot of the time, then it reduces the amount of space that you need, office space that you need to provide for them.
Mm.
So, you know, there are pros and cons. It's just about how you manage it. And I suspect what's happened at Yahoo, I mean, obviously, James has created some scenarios and what in terms of where Marissa is coming from, we don't really know. But, you know, having this thing about pulling everybody back would be a really retrograde step. And I don't think that's what she really meant. I think it's just about, you know, there's an element of control that she feels that probably is a bit out of control at Yahoo. And she wants to put some structure to it.
Now, the downside of this, Jeff, you were going to say.
Sorry, I was going to say, let's just come in with Jeff's comment, because Jeff had a different view.
All right, so what I'm thinking is that Marissa has seen that the mid-level managers, the people that are in charge of the office workers and the home workers, are failing at their jobs. And they are not managing these people effectively. And so since they can't do their job as well as they should, she's bringing everyone in, and that's how she's fixing the problem, which is probably a lot less expensive for her than firing all the mid-level managers and finding new people to bring in their place.
That's interesting, because, there's a real question for me, Sarah. I know as someone who has very much the necessity to split their time between active field work and then home working, I find it incredibly difficult. I'm sitting this afternoon, a couple of weeks ago, I shot some video, had last week off. This week, I'm sitting taking all of that video from a meeting and I'm pairing it together, and I'm taking the audio off one feed and I'm putting over some other footage from another angle, and I'm lip syncing it. And my daughter's running in and out because she's not been very well the last couple of days, and she's saying, "Daddy, can I sit on your knee? Daddy, can I..." And that ability to split home life and work life is extremely difficult for me. And that must be very difficult for you. I'm not saying you've got a daughter running in every 5 minutes, it's easy to go make a cup of coffee. It's easy to sit and watch the TV. If there's other distractions taking place, they distract very easily.
I agree. And, you know, I have that issue with my parents because obviously they are very close, and my mum wants to be up here a lot of the time when I'm over.
Send them to space.
And I have to say to them, "Look, Mum, I'm working, you know, please leave me alone." And they're really good about it now. And I do, it is a discipline. You have to be very disciplined. You know, it's one of the things about, and you obviously know this, Ewan, about working for yourself, is you have to be very disciplined. There's nobody who's going to kick you out of bed in the morning to actually go and take photographs. You have to have that self-discipline yourself. And it's with working at home, it's the same thing. You have to, the people around you, your family and so on, have to understand that when you're working, it's as if you're not there.
I would add two things on top of what Jeff was saying, because you're absolutely right, it's about the discipline. But Jeff made a very good point about the managers. And you think about these tech companies, and you think about the size of some of these companies, and you have to have really good technological staff, people who are capable of being able to code stuff, which is creative, usable, innovative. However, you also need really strong managers to be able to work them together as a team. And I guess for her to say, "Look, this is a little bit broken, we really need to pull this together and focus on what you need to do to manage the teams that you've got to be able to deliver the best products as possible," I can see is actually working towards the greatest benefit of the company. That's one thing. The second thing is, the people I really feel sorry for are the people who live 90 miles away, who would have a real bastard commute if they did have to come in, because those people are probably delivering fairly good work, but it would kill them if they had to commute every day.
Yeah, and they'll be out of a job unless they decide to do that ridiculous commute.
And that's a really interesting point, because I don't know how much it costs to live in that part of California, but I dare say they probably moved there for reasons that their family is kind of concerned with. And for them to either have to commit to, "I'm moving," or losing their job is a really that's a bit heartbreaking.
Only thing that bothers
it goes farther than that, because these people aren't just in California that are working from home. Some of them are in other states and on the other side of the country even.
That's what I was thinking.
If they want to have a job, I'm assuming this means they have to move to California now.
I think that's a really good point, because one of the things that we tend to do in the UK, I mean, you can accuse America thinking quite parochially quite often, you know, US is the center of the universe and there's nothing else. But in the UK, we look at the US and we see it as a country. And what we don't realize is that our country fits inside the US mainland 52 times. So, you know, the idea of me having to commute to Derby every day when I used to work from home in Birmingham, well, I mean, that's nothing for me. I couldn't care less. It's an hour's drive. But what you're talking about, Jeff, is a wholesale change. It's 30 hours of driving if you wanted to commute on a daily basis. So it really wouldn't work, would it?
I would imagine that. I would imagine that if, from a Yahoo point of view, that she's not referring to the people that are effectively field workers where they are remote. Because you're going to get that in any organisation, particularly a large-scale organisation where they've got even area managers in particular parts of the country, which isn't anywhere near the office. She's talking about the people that are at least partly based in the office anyway, and about stopping that from those people from working at home.
Mm.
Well, because actually, that really would be damaging for a business.
I just think as a web business that Yahoo have got to think a bit more.
Yeah, it's not good PR.
Expandably rather than linearly, and that's what she's doing. She's probably solving a very specific problem. Well done to her if that really does solve the problem, but it can't be a long-term solution, surely.
It might be that she just feels that she needs to have everybody around her while she gets things the way she wants to, and then they can go back to doing it once they've actually structured a bit more.
Chat room feels pretty strongly about this. Batwinch said, made some comments about stuff work. It's more about the kids and the family and that kind of stuff. So, you know, if she wants me in, then tough, I wouldn't go. And I've lost all the other comments. The chat room's moving too fast for me tonight, I have to say.
But it's great to have them here. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, everyone, you know, I don't want to have a go at people, but if you've never done it, you may think, oh, it's an easy option, it's an easy life, and it's all about, you know, family. You have to have that discipline. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's so easy to get into the, you know, I'll be distracted by every last little thing that you would do if you weren't working, you know, if you're on a day off or a weekend and so on.
Well, that's right.
It's important to have that structure. You have to be that same discipline as if you're sitting in the office.
And most importantly, if the managers believe that there is a performance issue, they are going to be right behind the come where I can, not where I can see you and keep an eye on you and make sure you're doing the right thing, but come over, come together, and we can all work in the same way rather than being sort of small strands of a team. So, I mean, when I was at the BBC, my boss was adamant that I shouldn't work at home. And I work perfectly adequately wherever I am. I've got my desk and I've got somewhere to work. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm supposed to be working now. Not really. but then again, you say that. But then again, there are some people who are constantly on Facebook all day at work. I mean, where the hell does it matter where they work if they're not actually doing any work?
Exactly the point. It's almost becomes about, it's about when you clock in and when you clock out, not what you actually achieve while you're working.
Yeah, I mean, I had a client who got made redundant from the job that they did, and they went home and they moped around for a week, and then he said, my job is to get a job. And every day he got dressed, he pulled a suit and a tie on, and he went downstairs and looked for work. And within 10 days, he got a job because he had that mindset of my job is to get a job. And that was it. And that's
like,
but I empathize immensely with people who work from home because I find it incredibly hard to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly hard. And I think Jeff's point's really good there because I think that's, you know, is it about the core workers who are working remotely or is it about the people who are managing those core workers? And if it's the people who are managing those core workers, there may be a benefit to pulling them in, perhaps.
I had a situation years ago when I started one of my companies where all three of us who started the company, we all worked from home for a year. And it was solidly working at home other than once a week when we got together for a meeting and we shared it between our various houses. I hated that time. At the end of that year, when we actually finally got an office because we started employing staff, I couldn't wait to move everything out. And it's like I wouldn't work at home because then I went from one extreme to the other.
And it took me a while, a year or two before I actually found that happy medium between the two. It is so... You have to really be structured with it.
No, I mean, I struggle having kids as well, is that I come down in the morning and very often I'll spend the entire day working, but I'm in my pyjamas all day because I'm sitting going through 600 photos. And I'll sit at the desk here and I'll completely ignore the rest of the family as well. So, I mean, that balance of work life, it goes the other way as well sometimes.
Yeah, I agree, Ewan, but that's about a mindset thing, about getting beyond the thinking that because I'm at home, I should be with the family. You need to be able to get beyond that point.
But it can go too far the other way.
It's about how you split the time so that everybody in the household, and I know it's difficult with young kids, they understand that when daddy's in the office and he's doing things, he's not here.
The thing I will say is that this year has been quite pleasant. 2 years ago was again quite pleasant because I was my time was split between home and work. Last year, particularly the 12 months from January through to December, I spent 6 days a week working pretty much consistently, and I was away from home on four nights a week, maybe five nights a week for most of the year from January through to December. And when I was at home, all I was doing was working and dealing with the stuff that I'd shot the week that I was away. And I lost the ability to communicate with the rest of the family, which that sounds brutally horrible and it sounds really difficult, bad father. But I forgot how to play with the kids in that year.
I've just seen a tweet from Alex who was on a couple of weeks ago saying another hour and then I'm going to call it a day. Warning to people who want to run their own business, it's not all play. In fact, none of it is. See, even he's working at the moment. Well, we're living it up on the internet.
Having jollies, drinking wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Jeff's got a beer.
I always say that everybody should work for themselves at least once in their career because it changes your attitude towards work, and this is so hard to get it right.
Absolutely.
The thing is, I don't think I could.
Your attitude to work if you ever go back to work with somebody else.
A bit frightening though, because if you've got a wife and kids and you're in a safe job where you're being employed by somebody, to pull the rug out of under that and say, right, I'm going to work for myself and thou are going to bear the whole burden of the mortgage and my family's well-being is, my goodness, that's frightening. It really is.
Yeah, I appreciate that, James, and I'm not saying that, you know, it will happen for everybody, or you know, but I'm just saying from a point of view of understanding the self-disciplines that you need, not only to work for yourself but to be able to work from home even if you are working for somebody else, it is a good experience for somebody to go through. Yeah. And I appreciate that it's not possible for everybody to do it.
Dan Benjamin of 5x5 has a really interesting show about this. It's a call-in show where people call in and they talk about, like, I'm going to quit my job, et cetera, and like, but I have a family. And it's really interesting, the advice he gives to them. I think it's on Fridays, but it's really interesting to listen to, even if you're not thinking of doing that yourself.
I've got some comments in the chat room here, quite a lot actually. Batwing says, I can't do work from home, Bane, because I work in education, so therefore I can't split between the two. Someone said it's okay, but because I have a space which is my own, I have a separate workspace. Those of you that came to the bash last year will know about my separate workspace, and it is 6 feet wide and it is 14 foot long, and everything I own in the world is in this room with me. And I kid you not, this place drives me mental because it is, I'm falling over everything, absolutely everything. Princess Bagel sympathises and understands. Her husband says he's got a dedicated office, but he's got the right mindset that goes with it as well. He still puts in the extra hours working from home to prove himself and protect his rights with his dismissive colleagues.
That's another downside. I was reading an article on BBC website tonight about homework, and they were saying that's a common thing, and I must admit I do that, and I didn't realize I thought it was just me that did that. Because you do kind of get skeptical and you think, you know, they think I'm not working, blah blah blah, so I have to prove myself. And I wasn't even aware I was doing it, and it was so good to realize that it's a common trait.
Mobile World Congress has just finished. That was good. We got a couple of things.
I missed it.
Oh, we got a couple of nice little things going on. HP pushed out a 7-inch little tablety type thing. Asus came out with a little tablety type thing with its own dock and that kind of stuff, which looked really nice. The Galaxy S4 was released and is available, from what I'm understanding, which I didn't think it was straight away.
Really?
I didn't think it was available till next month.
Someone's been talking about getting Galaxy S4s on Twitter.
Yeah, but March.
Oh,
as well.
Well, all right.
It might. Well, March is only tomorrow.
I'm wrong, but
March is only tomorrow, unless they're review copies, etc. And the other thing was the Galaxy Grand came out, which was the kind of I say replacement. I don't think it's a replacement, but it's right up there with a 5-inch Note, effectively. I mean. Did Mobile World Congress kind of pass by this month or this year or what? Because, I mean, there wasn't a lot that was earth-shattering.
Big of a deal as it has been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I expected was a counter announcement from Apple, because normally you'd expect them to come out and steal someone's thunder. But Samsung released a whole pile of phones, a lot of budget phones as well as, and the S4, and the Galaxy Grand.
Well, they announced them. I think they're going to be releasing them in March, apparently.
Which is very quick.
It's the opposite of what Microsoft do.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, go ahead.
I think Samsung kind of took the thunder out of Mobile World Congress unintentionally, and they did it with Samsung Wallet, because they announced a product that is almost exactly the same as Apple's Passbook. And, I mean, down to the interface, it looks very much like Apple's Passbook. And so that immediately drew the focus away from all of the new hardware and the potentially innovative products that they were announcing. And it shifted it right over to, oh, Samsung's doing the copycat thing again. And I think that just totally derailed the entire focus of Mobile World Congress this year.
Well, you add to that and the fact that HTC said, right, we're going to do one phone this year, and it's called the One. What do you mean? You've already got a One. You've got the One X, the One V, the One S. No, this one's called the One. And you go, right, thank you. Well, off you go then. Go and get us the One. And it'll just be sitting in its own little area of car phone warehouse. You go, I'll have that one.
You've been dating all the others, but actually it's the One that you've been looking for.
You see, I could be an advert. I shouldn't, yeah.
Shouldn't they call it the second one?
The second one.
Coming.
Yeah. All right. So Carphone Warehouse, it always has a special place in my heart after seeing Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Quality film.
And then what was the Extras, the Ricky Gervais show?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the one. That was filmed. The other one was filmed in Slayer, wasn't it?
Oh, The Office.
Office.
The Office, yeah.
Carphone Warehouse is a cut below all the other phone shops, I think.
Well, you say...
Okay. Now, the Carphone Warehouse scenes are funnier to me. I didn't realize it was the cut rate phone place.
That kind of intimates, Jeff, that the retail phone in the UK has an upper and lower element, and it really is. It's just all lower. It's lower of the low, lowest of the low. There we go. There's no echelon which is above that. You're either buying direct or you're buying from some scum in the high street who has no idea what he's selling you. Kind of like Jessup's, really, comes to cameras. But I'm going to get loads of hate mail for that. I got some real hate mail last week.
Oh, yeah. And you wonder why the high street is suffering.
I got some real hate mail last week.
At least you know people are listening.
This is true. I did take it as a compliment that because someone called me a wanker in an email, I must be famous.
I get so much I don't give a toss email about my radio show.
You're famous,
the hardest
mate.
Pill to take.
Absolutely famous beyond belief. Last story that we're going to deal with, and I got to say, this is the story of the week.
I haven't done a jingle for it, Ewan.
You haven't done a jingle for it, but it is the story of the week. There's a suggestion that from Congress that patent trolls should be dealt with by basically saying, that's fine, you can register your claim against another patent. However, if you lose, you're going to foot the bill.
I thought that was a standard principle of law anyway.
Thank you, James. I got to say, because the number of patent troll cases that there are out there, that no, there is no, in terms of civil suits, Sarah, everyone picks up their own costs unless you sue for costs as well on top of. And I think that's pretty consistent for US and UK. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. But
you are correct.
Yeah, but this is the best thing that could possibly happen. Mm. Absolutely brilliant.
Put the fear of God in them.
All the patent carpet baggers out there, watch out, because you're going to have to foot the bill if you lose. And that really would take some of the people that are out there that are doing absolutely nothing with the patents that they supposedly registered in terms of practical stuff, and take it away from the firms that are actually innovating.
You know, I think they need to look at the way the courts handle a lot of these patent cases. For example, we have one federal court district in Texas, and that's where all the patent trolls love to go and file their cases, because it's a court that is known for favoring the patent holder, or as we lovingly call them, the trolls. And it's just a ridiculous mess. It's a horrible waste of resources. Mm. And quite frankly, I am so tired of having to write articles about who the patent trolls are suing this week.
It is. I mean, it really is that. I mean, I've got desperately upset. If you've got a patent, that's fine, but you've got to have tried to have done something with it. Even if you just made a prototype, well done. You know, I'll give you the patent. I'm quite happy to back you up. But the people that have patented an idea, the guys that have got the thing at the moment about podcasting, I'm just like, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, because you've never done anything that's worthwhile. And there's a lot of colloquial history that says that this is not you that's done this. And they should come and they should stand and be counted. And if you lose, foot the bill. Absolutely agree with it. Is this realistically going to go through, though, Jeff, do you think?
No.
Oh, dear me.
I'm sorry. No.
You see, if the European Union are a stroppy enough bunch of buggers to be able to get this through, because they don't care who they annoy. I mean, they've got this thing about the bankers, which is going on here, and people are going to fight tooth and nail to defeat the bankers' bonuses thing. What seems to be the case, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, is that bills get put through based on the amount of influence that the influential parties, like companies, big business, have against government to protect themselves from it going through, if that makes sense. So if something will go through for the benefit of the people, and you only get small patent trolls who are going to be fighting against it with, I don't know, placards, banners, and probably guns, or do you have big businesses who can take your senator for lunch and say, hey, guy, we don't... I'm not going to do an American impression. Let's not do that.
I really want to hear your American impression.
We're not going to go down that road.
You know, there's a very good example of exactly what James is saying. Perfect.
This lady's not for turning.
Guys, there's a very good example of what James is saying, which is the copyright law in the US, which has been pushed and pushed by Disney.
No, the Peter and the Pippa and what's it are just dire pieces of legislation. I thought initially you were going to say Dick Van Dyke, I have to say, Sarah.
Yeah.
By the way, I apologize on behalf of all Americans for Dick Van Dyke's Cockney accent in Mary Poppins.
Mate, everyone that's been on the network has done that, so don't worry about it. We're fine.
It's actually in the United States Constitution. We are required by law to apologize.
But it's okay, because we've given you Hugh Laurie.
Yes, and he was crap in Series 1.
So, all right, well, okay. Now we're even.
He's not American? No. Oh, my God, awesome. You and that was awful. What did I do wrong?
People in the United States that thought Hugh Laurie was American.
Yeah, they were convinced.
We've had plenty of American actors playing Brits film.
And doing a better job, actually. They've been pretty good. Julia Roberts, no, she did American, didn't she? Who was the one? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Sliding Doors, she was excellent in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good. Good accent. But getting back to patent trolls, they need dealing with.
More importantly.
I find it... Why is this not going to go through then, Jeff?
I think that there will probably be enough deep pockets that don't want to see something like that go through, because I think that there are bigger companies that have a vested interest in not seeing this happen, simply because they are going to be using patents that they have, that they have no intention of ever turning into a product, to defend their brands, their names, stopping their competition. And if they have the added potential consequence of being burdened with all of the expenses of a patent lawsuit, that's not something they want. Mm. So while the patent trolls will be able to take advantage of that, I think that there will probably be some bigger companies that fight it as well. And really, with as messed up as patent law is in the United States, and as vindictively fighting as our members of Congress are, I think this will just fizzle out and die.
That's a shame. That's a real shame. They're talking here as well. You're saying there about patent trolling. The defense of a patent lawsuit can cost between $2 and $5 million. That's to defend it. So if they're picking up that cost by themselves, even if someone alleges it, the buckle principle applies far easier than the fight principle. No question.
You know, and I can see situations where bigger companies could use the threat of someone, a smaller company, getting stuck with all of the expenses as a lever to be able to convince them to settle out of court and do whatever the bigger company wants.
Absolutely. Tony in the chat room finishes off that argument with the fact that Dick Van Dyke is not on the FCC list because they can't publish the words Dick and Dyke. that was for the American listeners and Jeff. This podcast is brought to you by UK2. Now, if you're an American listener and you're listening to this podcast, UK2, you can still buy from them and you can still use the offer codes. How cool's that? You can get a domain with a registration and domain hosting for £20. No, hang on a second, let me say that again, because you can actually get it for, depending on whether it's a .com or a .co.uk or a .xxx, but we won't go there. You can get it for £5.99, because the fact you don't pay for domain hosting if you're with UK2 and you're listening to the British Tech Network. All you've got to do, go to our webpage, britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, click on UK2, that'll open in a separate browser, then come back and get the offer codes, and all the domain hosting charges that you've got are going to disappear, because if you put in British Tech Domains, I think that's the code, they all go, same as that. Dead easy. Wonderful. So what would normally cost everyone else £20 actually only costs you the cost of your domain registration and nothing else. Out. And by the way, you'll get 20% off your domain registration. There isn't a service that British Tech that UK2.net offers that we don't offer a discount code for. Everything will come off. No question.
All on our sponsors page.
And they're all on the sponsors page. Please support UK2. They're going to support us for the next 2 years, guaranteed. They've already renewed all the domains and all the hosting packages and that kind of stuff. They pick up all our bandwidth. We go without them, we just completely fold. We haven't got the money to cope with the bandwidth. Please support them, because they support us and you are supporting them, and they say thank you very much. So there you go. Craig at UK2 says thanks very
much. And we say thanks back to Craig. Tweet them at UK2, isn't it?
Yeah, hashtag UK2 or at UK2. Any tweets that you've got, just make sure that you say thanks very much to them for looking after us. Even if you don't, if you're not a UK2 customer, just say thanks for looking after British Tech Network. There you go. Make some effort, show some support, and it makes benefits, because we won't charge you for listening to this podcast. Because we really are worth the money, you know. We could charge, but we don't. We don't. There we go.
It's stunningly generous.
Oh, like you wouldn't believe, mate. Like you wouldn't believe.
To a fault.
Like Marie Antoinette. It's the cool thing. Right. We're going to start off with Mr. Jimmy Boy Hart, top left corner. He is always the kickoff on the call.
Indeed. And I want to do better than I did 2 weeks ago. The first thing I'd like to say is happy birthday to Paul Wheatley.
Is it really his birthday?
It's his birthday today, absolutely.
Oh, I would have sent him a message calling him a bad name, but never mind.
Do you know why? I knew. Hang on a second. I'll see if it works on my phone. Cause
don't tell me his birthday's really February the 29th.
How did you know, James?
Because when I go to my Google now, better bloody do it. It's loading up now. Oh, bloody hell. Come on, internets. Well, I don't know what my family is doing with the internet. It's like they're broadcasting on the podcast or something. Anyway, while it loads, I'll tell you about my cool thing. Now, I'm an engineer, and I like to be able to get the best out of technology for the lowest price. And one of the things I've been trying to do is find an easy way to store passwords for free. And it's getting passwords from machine to machine, making sure I get access to them wherever I want. And my ideal solution would be able to get my Nexus 7 out, open up a password vault, get the password out of that, and have it so it synchronizes with my desktop account. Now, there's this thing called Password Save, which is an open source password monitoring tool. It's great. It's free and it's available. There's something called Password Safe, PASSWD Safe, for Android on the Play Store. Download it for free, and you've got yourself your own password safe for your Android phone. And it is compatible with the password safe for Windows. But how do you get it to synchronize with Windows, I hear you ask? No, all right then.
Go on then. How do you get it to synchronize with Windows, I ask?
The miracle of Dropbox, Ewan. Dropbox is brilliant. But of course, there's really? No automatic synchronization on Dropbox on your Android tool.
How do I get automatic synchronization on Dropbox, James? I'm getting into this.
So well. It's going so well.
I'm in
well.
Character. I'm in
install
character.
Install another free application called Dropbox Sync, which is a free premium application, so you can synchronize one folder with Dropbox Sync, or you can get the premium version, which you can obviously do selective folders and stuff like that. So I've got a folder that I leave my password files in. They synchronize with my desktop, and therefore I've got my passwords on my desktop and on my Android phone. So it's Password Safe for Android and Dropbox Sync for Android as well, all completely free. And there's your picture of Paul Wheatley, whose birthday it is today.
Happy birthday, Paul Wheatley. I'm just about to tweet that out. Here we go.
Hey, happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday at Paul Wheatley.
I was online on Skype while you were talking about it.
There we go.
My colour balance has gone completely screwed since I put that photo of Paul up.
Who knows what you look like before.
Exactly.
Now, Jeff, do you want us to come back to you? Do you want some more time? Or has your Insta paper opened and you've got something that's cool? If you're wondering why Joe's moving in the bottom left corner, by the way, it's because he's pre-recorded this just in case he lost his feed.
Joe is so special.
This is Joe looking intelligent. Here we go, look. There he is, look. He's talking about something. Yeah, absolutely.
Does he realise we can't hear him?
No, the thing is, he pre-recorded
I think
this.
He's doing the Macarena.
he
doesn't move around that much anyway, does he? When he's live.
No, the thing is, this is the naivety of a 16-year-old. He pre-recorded this just in case he had to go, not realising he needed frigging audio to go along with it.
But then I wouldn't be able to say anything that was useful. Which is normal.
But well, you're still here as
don't,
well.
Don't feed.
I only just got back. I had to go open the door.
Don't feed me lines, Joe. Right.
See, I just assumed it was like performance art.
Well, it could be. It could be. It could be theatre. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
All right. I have something absolutely completely frivolous, but something that I found to be wonderfully cool. And it's from a blog called Minion Factory. And what this is, all right, so you're getting me in horrible profile right now because I want to make sure everyone in the chat room gets this link. Here we go. So this is an artist that has created Pixar versions of all the classic Star Trek characters. And they are just wonderfully awesome.
I've got the first one is Kirk, and it's like, yes. Oh, carry on, mate. Sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, that's okay, because we're all excited now. And so these characters, so they have Kirk and Spock and McCoy and Mr. Scott and
Uhura. Oh, McCoy, and, McCoy, the mouth on McCoy.
Yeah, and they are so Pixar and so totally perfect as Star Trek characters as well, and. Just absolutely wonderfully beautiful.
The Klingon is immense.
The Klingon is fantastic. I love the incredibly droll
"You have got to be kidding me!"
Look on the Romulan.
The Cherans as well. Black and white, and white and black.
Yes.
Wow. Superb.
And the Andorian looks like he's drunk, which is just absolutely fantastic.
When are Pixar going to make a Star Trek movie now? That's the only question.
Right after Disney buys the Star Trek franchise. I mean, they might as well, because that we have the same director for Star Trek and Star Wars now, so... Might as well do it.
It's what the customers want.
It's what the customers want.
Dude, all year, that is the pick of the year for me. Star Trek Pixar. Awesome. Kirk is Kirk. I mean, Kirk is just superb. And Spock and McCoy's Mouth. That may be the title of the podcast, McCoy's Mouth.
You'll bring in a new demographic.
Unless someone comes up with something dirtier than that, McCoy's Mouth is going to be the podcast title.
If you're listening on the podcast, just type in Pixar Minion Factory into your favourite search engine.
Oh, perfect.
Apparently, according to this, my Joe's laptop's about to run out of battery, even though it's showing green. So, I have no idea why that's taking place.
Oh, this could be very bad.
This could be immensely bad.
Do you want me to talk faster?
This could be catastrophic. We'll do Joe's pick next.
I was just going to say that. Probably a good idea.
Right, okay, we've got green. Let's do Joe's, just in case. Go, okay. Joe.
God, this one needs a disclaimer.
Good lad.
Right, because this exists doesn't mean you can go and troll your local department store, Curry's, whatever. You're not going to do that because I will punch you myself if you do. Does anyone recognize this?
No, but get on with it.
Universal remote, but it only has one function, that's to turn off TVs. You press the button, and as you can see, it just blasts
the TV. I know, it just switches them off. Yeah, I know.
And, you know, you could cause havoc with this.
Don't point it at the camera. It'll turn my telly off. You'll turn the computer off. Turn off half of Ewan's house.
It's really cool.
I hope you're satisfied. You just shut off the United States. Well done.
Any questions about that? I mean, it's...
Is that your pick?
Yeah. I have something else for you that's a little more less evil.
Asinine. Yeah, go on.
So this is awkward because I don't have a laptop, so I'm going to have to lean over here. It's actually a Kickstarter project, but this is a Kickstarter project for an open source version of something that was already a commercial product in its own right. It's called Live Code by RunRev, Runtime Revolution, and it allows anyone to create their own iOS apps. And they had a Kickstarter to raise enough money to build this open source version, and it's really difficult, but their Kickstarter, like, it finished yesterday, but I mean, we can't contribute now, but just keep an eye out for this, because this is going to be amazing when it does get released. It's going to allow pretty much anyone to create their own iPhone apps. I mean, so runrev.com, that's the website. It will be there soon, but let me check how much they raised. It was a lot.
You see, he's got all this equipment and he has to face away from us to find it.
He's got all this equipment, he's on battery power, which is slowly running out, and he hasn't prepared.
There we go.
Oh!
Nothing like
that. There you go, yeah. $500,000.
I hope the people from Telecaster aren't watching, because they've just asked for it back. TriCaster even.
But keep an eye out for this, because I think this is going to be really a revolution in its own right.
And it's called Next Generation Live Code.
Yep, from RunRev.
RunRev. Well, congratulations, Tom.
Excellent pick. Thank you. Sarah, what's yours, girl?
Oh, that's kind of like, okay, where do I go after that? Mine's very simple. It's something that's existed for a while, and I just wanted to plug it because it's really helped me this week, and that's Google Sync in Chrome. With having different lots of hardware and in different countries and moving around a lot, having sync in Google really helps me with particularly links and stuff like that. With a particular issue I'm not going to talk about on the show, but those of you that were listening to the show beforehand know what I'm talking about in terms of actually being able to find deep links for tracking codes and stuff like that that I've needed to for certain things this week. It's been immensely useful and got me out of jail because I forgot to bring anything details over with me. So it saved my life this week. So
excellent. Google Chrome is excellent.
It is, yes.
You love it. My pick is from 12 South. Those people that gave us the...
They make awesome stuff.
The high-rise. Do you remember the high-rise, Sarah?
Yeah.
That was
they really need to sponsor the show, don't they?
Well, that was won by a guy in Nottinghamshire. He won that, and I sent it to him in Alfreton, and he loved it. He thought it was great. And I've got one as well, and it holds my beautiful Mac screen up, and it looks gorgeous. Well, they've come out with something called the Book-Book. And the Book-Book sounds like it should be an African bird that's extinct, but it's not. It's actually...
Because it's a hardy bird. It can survive in any condition. Oh, that's not what you meant.
No, that's not what I meant. It's a book, effectively, that's a cover for your MacBook. And they've got them in for MacBook Air and MacBook Pro. They come in 13-inch, 15-inch and 17-inch. But they've just released today a brand new version of it, which is called the Book-Book for the Retina MacBook Pro. Now then, here's the thing. It's not just my pick of the week because it's really cool and it makes your MacBook look like a historical text. I'm glad I said that right. It's my pick of the week because there's a competition to win one. Yes. This week, this network is giving away a Book-Book of your choice. And all you've got to do is answer a simple question. And the simple question is, at 5 p.m. tomorrow evening, when the London Stock Exchange closes, what is the price of the Book-Book in pounds sterling? It's not that easy, is it? No. 5 p.m. tomorrow night at the close of the London Stock Exchange, what is the price of the Book-Book in pounds sterling? So you can guess that tomorrow we'll be reading this out on the photo show and on the Mac show as well. If you want to win it, all you've got to do is send an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and title it 12 South Competition Book-Book. Send it to us and put the correct fee down and whoever's closest will win. Someone's going to win it. It doesn't matter if you put down £400. If you're the closest at £400, you'll still win it. Someone's going to win it, okay? So don't worry about accuracy. 5 p.m. tomorrow night, whatever the stock exchange price is for the exchange rate on the dollar, I want to know what the price of the Book-Book off the 12 South website would be in sterling. You send it to me after 5 o'clock tomorrow night, you will get yourself the Book-Book.
Now, see, that's like that's a really good competition right there. In the United States, it'd be like, all right, so what color is Snooki's nail polish today?
Yeah, see? No, last time we did the one, the last question was for a high rise, how many products are available in the UK for sale by 12 South? And we got lots and lots of answers with lots and lots of qualifications.
People think. That's
yeah, I
really
do.
Great.
No, we don't give away. We think away.
Although, to be honest with you, you probably got more questions than you did answers.
No, actually, we got a lot of answers.
This isn't a competition which is name the colour, what's the colour of the sky. And by the way, you've got a phone 0898 number.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's no money coming in here.
Exactly.
It's dead simple. After 5
that
o'clock.
That thing where people call and get charged to their phone stuff that happens in the UK, that's like really jacked up. What's up with that?
Yeah, and they make the question so easy you can't get it wrong because everybody convinces everybody to think, oh, I can win that.
Yeah, but we didn't invent freemium.
They have television networks which are just constant premium phone lines you can dial in and win nothing. It's a weird. Have you seen those of roulette and betting phone thing? Television stations on all day with these people sitting in front of the cameras going, we've got Jeff from Basingstoke online now, on line one. What number do you think it is going to be? I think it's number 4. Oh, it's number 26. Bad luck.
Wow.
Joe's computer's just run out of battery power despite the fact that it's showing green. So that means the battery's knackered. That means I'm going to spend £100 on a battery.
World of TriCaster.
Just to keep this thing on, I'm going to be buying an iMac. If they've got an iMac they want to lend me, or a MacBook Pro. No, not MacBook Pro, a MacBook I want Mac Mini. Mac Mini, that'd be better. Give me a Mac Mini. I'd love one Mac Mini, thank you. If anyone's got a spare one, thank you. I'll pay good money for it. Cheers, there we go. But there you go. That's the 12 South competition. If you want to win a book, it's a brand new thing. You can choose any size that you want. All you have to do is tell me that at tomorrow night, that's 5 o'clock at the 1st of March 2013, what is the price of the book in pounds sterling based on the accurate currency conversion rate?
I love that.
Dead easy. I'm not looking for accurate answers.
Of a swallow.
I'm not looking for accurate answers based on the fact that I will not have an accurate answer myself, I don't believe. But I will be checking that what the current exchange rate is at 5 p.m. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
Well, I must say at this stage, thank you very much to Windrider for the invitation to app.net, yes, which gave me a month free, and I used it, and I kind of did a little bit. And now they've made it so you can follow up to 40 people for free. And so I'm on app.net as at Syzygy.
It's only 20 quid.
It's only 20 quid for the year, so I may actually pitch in, because you do
already
get...
Already done it.
It's like a filtered version of Twitter. It's kind of like grown-up sensible people on there.
No, it's, in some ways it's Twitter, but with just your friends instead of all the twats that are on there.
Oh, okay.
Like me.
No. I don't mean that, Sarah, because you're not on there yet, but you will be.
I'm not going to be either.
No.
Yeah, the day is young.
No. What I'm saying is you don't get any of the idiots that are trying to sell you something. You don't get anyone that's retweeting some bollocks that's come from someone else. You just got people who are on there who want to have a conversation. Most of the BTM people that I talk to regularly, day to day, on Twitter are already on app.net. You've got to come over, Sarah. Pay the 20 quid.
Try it out for either of two reasons, Sarah. One, there are few enough users on there that you might get a decent username.
You'll get Sarah Gray instead of Sarah Jane UK.
And two, Windrider's got 10 invitations available. Hook up with him.
There you go. Speak to Windrider.
There you go.
Chat room, speak to Windrider. You've got to get on app.net. It's beautiful. Are you on app.net, Jeff? James? Jeff?
Yes, I am.
You are? Well, we should hook up then, sir.
All right. So it's the same as it is on Twitter. So I am J Gamet. That's J-G-A-M-E-T. I figured I'd make it easy for people.
Excellent. Where does Gamet come from as a surname?
I think it's a munged up version of what the name used to be. And it was like Kamut or Kamut or something like that, which, as far as I can tell, it's probably British originally.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say you were French then.
No, although I have like a great uncle that was a director and producer in Hollywood that pronounced it Gamay, so that it sounded like...
No, we don't do French on this network, mate. No, sorry.
But yeah, I think it's originally British, and I have a feeling that I had an ancestor that was on the run from the law and let it get changed when he snuck over to the colonies.
Oh, it's a good very story. Good.
We like that. That's very good. That's more interesting than me.
Yeah, so, you know, there you go. So I tell people it's British.
Good, good. So Jeff Gamet, J Gamet on Twitter. And
on app.net.
App.net's where it's at. I'm telling you. Sarah, where are you going?
I just said, look on app.net. Doesn't seem to be $20 to me.
It's $36.
Yeah.
So it's 20.
Yeah, it's $36 US. I think in pounds, that's like three.
No. Because no one's going to win.
I was going to say, if somebody could tell me what the exchange rate will be at 5 p.m. tomorrow, then I'll maybe consider.
Very good.
Shing.
I'll be checking.
You can get hold of me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
Excellent. Thank you, Mrs. Jodamax, that's the blank screen that you can see where the frozen thing is, at Jodamax on Twitter. And I've got to say, he's well worth a follow. If you want to know anything about streaming or Wirecast or any of those kind of streaming processes, he's the man to talk to. He's an absolute genius. And if you want to find some arsehole who's called you a wanker on a Friday afternoon, Joe's your man. Definitely. Semi-pro twat finder. My name's Ewan Rankin.
That sounds wrong.
You can find me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can find me at Ewan Rankin on app.net, where I've posted twice as much as I've posted on Twitter this week, because I've got to say, there's friendly people on there that I already know. Anyone that finds me on app.net, if you follow me, I'll follow you back straight away. Not doing any of the not following. If you find me, I know you want to talk conversationally. This has been The Big Show. You've been listening to us. We won't be back till next Thursday, but it'd be well worth the wait.
Hey?
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 Hey? We're not back till next Thursday?
Show's tomorrow.
No, The Big Show's not tomorrow.
Oh, of course not.
You've ruined my bloody ending.
Hey! Oh,
Jesus. You can't get them. You can't get the panellists anymore. The bloke that we picked up at the last minute's been better than everyone else. This guy here.
God, what's in this stuff?
Good God, the regulars. Christ.
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, you just caught me on a good day.
Take two.
Also, you let me sneak out for a minute so I could go get a drink. So there's that.
This show works well with beer.
Or alcohol in general. It turns out I was out of beer, so I went right to the bourbon.
Oh, man, he's drinking the hard stuff at 1 in the afternoon.
Nice.
Hey, I'm a professional. Don't try this at home.
Jeff, do you want a regular slot? Because you fit right in.
Sure, I'll have to go get another bottle of bourbon, but I'm totally fine with that.
Anyway, that's the end of me slick edit and finish. We're done. Au revoir. No, we don't do French. What am I talking about? We'll